Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today on Coronavirus Update for Wednesday, November 18th. You're here on Gila Membres Community Radio. I'm your co-host, Marcus Hansen. This week on Grant County Coronavirus Update, GMCR producer Jamie Newton talks to Dr. Renee Dupre and Dr. Ken Sexton about the latest public emergency health order and how we can protect ourselves, our families, and our community during the upcoming holidays. First, here's the news. New Mexico's daily COVID cases spiked again yesterday with 2,112 new cases, 359 daily cases more than last week's total record of 1,753. New Mexico's rolling 7-day average of new COVID-19 cases is nearly 10 times greater than the state's target for a safe reopening process. The Department of Health also reported 357 additional deaths over the past 7 days for a total of 1,264 deaths, an additional 624 hospitalizations over the past week. According to the Department of Health, 17% of New Mexicans who have been hospitalized for COVID-19 have died, or almost one in five. 754 people are currently hospitalized, and officials for the state's largest medical systems have warned that uncontrolled spread could mean disaster for the hospitals. This is due in part to limitations on transferring patients to neighboring states of Texas, Arizona, and Colorado that are also dealing with serious outbreaks. Here in Grant County, the Department of Health reported 77 new cases since last week for a total of 329 cases, with one additional death for six total deaths, and 98 people have recovered here in Grant County from the virus. On Friday, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham announced a reset on restrictive public health orders that took effect on Monday in an effort to curtail the spread of the virus and relieve dramatically escalating strain on hospitals and healthcare providers across the state. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham said, quote, "The rate of spread and the emergency within our state hospitals are clear indicators that we cannot sustain the current situation without significant interventions to modify individual behavior. We had hoped targeted crackdowns, limited hours of operations and amplified messaging and enforcement would make the difference and slow the spread and relieve our hospitals. The public health data make clear, however, that more aggressive restrictions are not only warranted but essential if we are to prevent mass casualties." End quote. New Mexicans are instructed to stay at home except for only those trips that are essential to health, safety, and welfare, such as food and water, emergency medical care, and to obtain a flu shot or to obtain a test for COVID-19. Essential businesses such as grocery stores, pharmacies, shelters, childcare facilities, gas stations, infrastructure operations, and others must minimize operations and in-person staffing to the greatest extent possible, but may remain open for limited essential in-person activities. Food and drink establishments may provide curbside pickup and delivery services. On-site dining is prohibited, however. Essential retail spaces may not exceed up to 25% of maximum occupancy or 75 customers at any one time, whichever is smaller. The essential retail spaces must be closed by 10 p.m. nightly and may reopen at 4 a.m. For the full emergency public health order, you can go online to cv.nmhealth.org. The State Department of Health has reminded New Mexicans who should get tested for COVID-19. The list goes as follows. Symptomatic people displaying COVID-19 symptoms such as cough, fever, shortness of breath, chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, congestion and runny nose, nausea or vomiting, diarrhea, and or loss of taste or smell. Asymptomatic people who are close contacts or household members of New Mexico residents who have already tested positive for the coronavirus. Asymptomatic people who live or work in congregate settings, such as detention centers and long care facilities. And patients who are scheduled for surgery and whose provider has advised them to get tested before the procedure. For more information on COVID testing and contact tracing, you can go online to togethernm.org. If you need to get tested for COVID-19, here are some of the local testing schedules. Please note that some of the times have changed. The Grant County Public Health Office provides free testing every Tuesday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. and every Wednesday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Again, for clarity, 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. every Wednesday afternoon. Appointments can be scheduled by registering on the following website. That's cvtestreg.nmhealth.org. Once registered, you will receive a code. Please save this code and use it when making your appointment. You can call 575-538-5318, extension 4. The CVS Pharmacy drive-thru here in Silver is making self-swab tests available to individuals meeting CDC criteria. In addition to state and age guidelines, patients must register in advance at cvs.com. Hidalgo Medical Services here in Silver is doing testing on weekdays except for Tuesdays at their clinic at 1007 Pope Street here in Silver and in their Lordsburg clinic on weekdays except for Thursdays at 530 DeMoss Street. You can call 575-388-1511 for an appointment. The State Department of Health reminds New Mexicans of the following. If you feel sick, do not leave your home. If you feel any symptoms of COVID-19, seek out a COVID-19 test. Testing sites and hours are available at cv.nmhealth.org and togethernm.org. Please be patient after receiving your COVID-19 test. As cases rise, so does demand for testing. After you receive your COVID-19 test, monitor yourself for symptoms. If you're having symptoms or tested because of an exposure, you should assume that you are infectious and self-isolate even if your symptoms resolve. You can't spread the virus without knowing you are positive and without having symptoms. If you do test positive for COVID-19, don't leave your home to run errands or to see friends. If you are infected with COVID-19, you must not leave your home unless you seek out emergency medical care. And finally, if you need emergency medical care, call 911, not the Department of Health Information Hotline. Now, with the flu season underway and expected to continue through early May, the New Mexico Department of Health is urging all New Mexicans to get their flu shots this year. From Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, quote, "This year it is more important than ever to get your flu shot." Dr. Chris Novak, New Mexico Department of Health Public Medical Director, added, quote, "Getting your flu shot is the best way to protect yourself and loved ones from the complications, hospitalizations, and death that influenza can cause. In addition, getting a flu shot saves healthcare resources and hospital rooms for treating COVID-19 patients and others with more serious health conditions. The following groups of people are strongly recommended to be vaccinated, and they are at high risk for complications from influenza or believe they have or live with or care for people at high risk for developing flu-related complications. They are as follows: children younger than 5, but especially children younger than 2, pregnant women in all trimesters and up to 2 weeks postpartum, people ages 65 and older, people of any age with medical conditions like asthma, diabetes, lung or heart disease, and those who are immunocompromised, people who live in nursing homes and other long-term care facilities, people who live with or care for those at risk of complications of flu, including healthcare personnel and caregivers of babies younger than 6 months, American Indians and Alaskan Natives, people who are morbidly obese, and PN caregivers to groups mentioned above, and all healthcare workers need to get vaccinated every year to protect the people they care for and treat. People in these groups should also consider seeing their healthcare provider as early as possible to be evaluated for antiviral medication if they develop flu symptoms, because the sooner that these medications are begun, the better these chances are preventing serious complications. Hidalgo Medical Services will be holding a free limited contact drive-through flu vaccination clinic on Saturday, November 21st at HMS Clinics in Silver City and Lordsburg. Pre-registration is required at hms-nm.org. If you don't have internet access, you can register by calling 888-271-3596, and vaccinations are for person 18 years of age or older. Now look at the food pantry schedules. The food pantry at the Gospel Mission, located at 111 South Texas Street here in Silver, is open for drive-through on Wednesdays from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Emergency dry food boxes are available once a month to individuals upon request, and there's also a daily soup kitchen. Breakfast takes place from 9 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, and lunch occurs every day from noon to 1. Showers and clothes are also made available to those in need. You can call 575-388-5071 for more info. The St. Francis Newman Center Food Pantry, located at 914 West 13th Street here in Silver, is open every Monday at 4 p.m. Cash assistance for rent, utilities, bus passes, and prescription drugs is also available. If you'd like more info, call 575-388-4933 for more info. Held on the third Wednesday of the month, the next Senior Citizens Mobile Food Pantry will be today, November 18th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and that's taking place at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the address 3755 North Swan Street, and that's for any senior in Grant County 55 and older. If you are a senior or disabled adult and cannot access groceries, you can call the State Senior and Disabled Adult Food Hotline, that number, 1-800-432-2080. Leave a message with your name, telephone number, and city that you reside in, and you will be contacted within 2 hours of your call. Also held on the third Wednesday of the month, the next Members Valley Health Action League Mobile Food Pantry will be held today, November 18th, and that's from noon to 2, and that's at the Roundup Lodge at 94 Ackland Hill Road. Call 575-574-7674 for more info. P&M customers needing financial assistance with their electricity bills can apply through the P&M COVID Customer Relief Program. Eligibility is based on household income. $50 to $200 will be available per eligible residential customer, and $150 to $200 will be eligible for small businesses. The amount of financial assistance provided will vary depending on how much is past due. Qualified customers must pay at least 25% of their past due balance. You must apply no later than December 31st or until funds last. And you can do that by calling PNM at 855-364-2950. That's Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. or you can visit PNM.com. Lastly, assistance is available on a first-come, first-served basis. For a full list of eligibility and requirements, you can go to pnm.com/help. Housewise is offering emergency mortgage assistance to those affected by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. If you're having difficulty paying your mortgage and do not qualify for unemployment or government assistance at this time, you can contact the HomeWise representative at 505-983-9473 or visit the HomeWise website. That's HomeWise.org. Are you a Bayard resident that needs help with water and rent? Well, CARES Act funding is available to help Bayard residents with water, utility, and rent bills. Call the Bayard City Hall at 575-537-3327 or visit COVID-19 programs and information on Bayard's website of cityofbayardnm.com. Again, for clarity, cityofbayardnm.com, and you can find the online application there. Also, the City of Bayard has received $93,188 in funding under the Small Business Continuity Act. CARES Act relief funds and Bayard businesses are encouraged to apply. Applications and eligibility requirements can be downloaded again from the City of Bayard website. That's cityofbayardnm.com. Small businesses headquartered in New Mexico with 50 or fewer full-time equivalent employees have revenue of $2 million or less prior to COVID and either have been forced to close or severely curtail business operations as a result of closures from the state can apply. Business continuity expenses such as non-owner employee payroll, rent, scheduled mortgage payments, insurance, utilities, and marketing are covered, as well as business redesign in response to COVID are covered under the grant. Applications will be received until December 5th this year, and will be made available until funds are exhausted. The town of Hurley will be distributing COVID-19 care packages to Hurley and North Hurley water utility customers on Thursday, November 19th, and that's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hurley Community Center located at 302 Carrasco Avenue. Residents will be required to provide their water, account name, address, and telephone number. The New Mexico Taxation and Revenue Department is reaching out to about 60,000 New Mexicans who may not have received or applied for the economic impact payments authorized by the Federal CARES Act earlier this year. Taxation and Revenue, with the help of the New Mexico Human Services Department, identify people who may not have filed for a federal tax return in 2018 or 2019 and, as a result, did not automatically receive their federal stimulus payment. Individuals may be eligible for a request of up to $1,200, depending on income, plus an additional $500 per qualifying child. It's not too late to register for stimulus money, even if you didn't file your tax return. If you or somebody you know is eligible, but hasn't had it claimed yet, the state is urging every New Mexican to register to get the money they're eligible for before the IRS deadline of November 21st at 1 p.m. Mountain Time. To apply, you can go online to irs.gov. The Department of Workforce Solutions announced that New Mexicans may be able to reopen their unemployment insurance claims after repeated disruption to unemployment due to COVID-19. Individuals who had previously been on unemployment, returned to work, and now may be let go from their job again or have hours reduced may have the option to reopen their unemployment insurance claim. For more info on how to reopen a claim, you can visit the Department of Workforce Solutions website. That's dws.state.nm.us. Do you need help talking to your children about the coronavirus? Having conversations with your children allows you to know what they understand about COVID-19 and what they might not. It also helps them to develop a deeper understanding of the situation through questions and open dialogue that helps them feel safe. For more resources, including tips for parents, behavioral health support, easy ways to explain COVID to children and young adults, and free tutoring tutoring for students K-12, visit pulltogether.org. Get all of your holiday downtown shopping done from the safety and comfort of your home by shopping online at Downtown Silver City Cash Mobs. Organized by the Silver City Main Street Project, the virtual shopping event is held online using Facebook Live. Merchants have the opportunity to showcase 50 of their items for sale. Shoppers watch the event and use the comment section to shop. Volunteers track the comments section to record purchases, and the merchant reaches out to the shopper the next day to arrange a pickup for shipping. To shop the downtown Silver City Cash Mobs, you can go to facebook.com/SilverCityCashMob. And you can also find a link from the Silver City Main Street's website, that's silvercitymainstreet.com. Here's the schedule. Today, November 18th, the Silver City Cash Mob will showcase Power and Light Press. Friday, November 20th, Soul River. Monday, November 30th, Oasis Tea and Coffee House. Wednesday, December 2nd, the Silver City Museum Store. Wednesday, December 2nd, Silver City Museum Store. Friday, December 14th, the Grant County Art Guild. And Wednesday, December 16th, the Light Art Space. All of the cash mobs take place from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Again, on Facebook at facebook.com/SilverCityCashMob. Support local, love local through Silver City Cash Mobs. Next up, GMCR producer Jamie Newton talks to Renee Dupree and Dr. Ken Sexton about the latest public emergency health order and how we can protect ourselves, our families, and our community during the upcoming holidays.
Thanks for being with us on Coronavirus Update.
Thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to be back with you.
On Monday, November 16th, 2020, a new public health emergency order went into effect in New Mexico. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham described it as hitting the reset button, putting New Mexicans under the most restrictive shutdown of the entire coronavirus ordeal. Dr. Dupree and Dr. Sexton, what changes in the course of the pandemic justified this new emergency order, and what does it require of New Mexico residents?
Well, as you noted, our state is shut down again. New Mexicans are required to shelter in place, which means staying home unless absolutely necessary to go out for essential items. And only essential businesses are open, and those on a limited basis. No gatherings of more than 5 people are allowed. A mask ordinance is in effect at the state level, which has been backed up by the town of Silver City. In all of that, Thanksgiving is coming. Cases of COVID-19 are rising. And to us public health professionals, it feels like words of caution are falling on deaf ears. And that's partly because we're receiving confusing advice from experts across the spectrum. Some of the confusion comes from growing knowledge about the disease. We know things now that we didn't know then. But some of it is just plain misinformation, like calls for herd immunity, which is just a myth. Or claims that COVID-19 is no worse than the flu. Protests against masks because supposedly they interrupt our individual liberties. We're all tired of distancing, of not hugging, not seeing family. And right now, a Thanksgiving turkey and grandmother's cranberry sauce and the warmth and connection of family and friends all sound really good. And there are at least 10 ICE trucks serving as temporary morgues in the city of El Paso, just a few hundred miles away right now. And that is why our governor has issued these shelter-in-place orders just before the holidays, when you're dreaming of a pumpkin pie and a cozy day with extended family. The orders call for a 2-week shutdown and a reevaluation of how each county is doing after that. Counties that have slowed the spread may be able to loosen their restrictions, but there are no promises. If we keep on at our current pace, we're looking at extended shelter-in-place orders, possibly through the end of the year. Let me throw out a few numbers here. Every day in our state, more than 1,000 people, one day we had almost 1,800 people, test positive for COVID-19. It's here. It's spreading, and more people are becoming very sick. Currently, 738 people in the state are hospitalized for COVID. That means our hospitals are 80 to 100% full. There's no place to go to get healthcare if you need it, whether you're sick from COVID or you just got in a car wreck or you have the flu. In New Mexico, 22 people, including people in their 20s, 30s, and 50s, died just yesterday in one day. More than 1,200 people have died statewide since March. Grant County has topped 300 cases, and it is spreading rapidly, with about a 30% increase in cases over just the last week. And I'm going to say it again, the biggest drivers of spread are family gatherings, house parties, and those other things that we want to do so badly. But anytime that people from different households get together, no matter whether they're related or not, that's when we see the spread. When EPIs talk about exponential spread, a term you may have heard, they mean mathematically exponential. If we don't take these measures, these drastic measures, we're going to see that spread going just out of control. Just here's some numbers to think about. Without any controls, for every one infected person, in 2 months, there are 406 people infected. If we put in place 50% precautions, which is about where we were, we can slow it a lot. And that means that that one infected person will infect only 25 others in those 6 months. If we put in and reduce the spread by 75%, that one infected person only spreads it to 2.5. That's a dramatic difference between 406 to 2.5. So that's why we need to do this. And these measures work. We've seen them work from the beginning of the pandemic, and they continue to work. So let's reframe our Thanksgiving plans. Let's think about how we can still connect with family, but do it safely from a distance. Plan a hike, be outdoors. And if you do have to see people from outside of your family, wear your mask, keep your distance, don't share food. And that's all I've got to say. Dr. Sexton, what else would you like to add?
I would just like to finish with one simple idea is that I'm agreeing with Dr. Renee. We want to get back to normal as soon as possible. We need to do this by following the public health orders. We need to cooperate, and we can get through this and minimize the cases. Our health, local health care systems are already struggling. Around here, we have to move the most serious patients to these large hospitals that are already full. So our best tool of prevention is prevention, and we need to work together so we can get through this and get back to normal as soon as possible.
Dr. Ken Sexton and Dr. Renee Dupre, what can New Mexicans do to reduce the risk of coronavirus infections in the environments we control, our homes, our vehicles, our businesses, and in the environments that we do not control, such as grocery stores and gas stations? And can we still enjoy outdoor exercise and recreation safely?
I'd like to start by reminding listeners that the coronavirus is a new virus, and we are learning more about it every day. This means we are also modifying and updating recommendations on how to control the spread of the disease. There is also a need to clarify previous recommendations. A good example is for the need to wear a mask and maintain a social distance of 6 feet. When you hear that these activities protect you and others, this is true. But what's important to remember is that it does not eliminate the risk 100%. Further, wearing a mask does not eliminate the need to maintain a distance from others. So while these activities are critically important, there are other things one needs to do to further protect themselves. That's what I want to talk about today. Protecting yourself, family members, friends, and people you associate with can be helped by also attempting to control one's environment. And I mean the built environment, the inside environment, when possible, such as when you're at home, in your vehicle, and your own workspace. The simplest way to do this is to limit the number of people in these spaces. For example, in your home, you can minimize the number of invited visitors. Try to have shorter rather than longer visits if possible. Likewise, you can do the same when you're using your vehicle to make necessary trips. Avoid carpooling, trips with friends or family friends. In your own workspace, attempt to minimize interactions with other coworkers and clients, both in number and time of these interactions. The next environmental control is to try to find meeting locations that are as large as possible and avoid meeting in smaller areas. Another environmental control is to find a way to increase the amount of fresh air brought into your area. Indoors, this could be attempted by opening windows and doors, using exhaust fans in windows, and requesting adjustments of a building's HVAC system to allow more fresh air to be brought into the work area. When you're in your vehicle, you can increase ventilation by either opening windows when possible and avoiding using the recirculating option when heating or cooling the vehicle. That is, choose to allow fresh air to enter the vehicle. Lastly, filtration of air you are breathing can be attempted by using purchased air filtration devices that use good filters, such as HEPA filters. For larger workplace buildings, replacement of the HVAC system's filters with better filters such as MERV 13, often used in hospitals and schools, or HEPA filters can help reduce the concentration of airborne viruses. When visiting areas with environments that are not in your control, such as grocery stores, gas stations, schools, and medical providers, there are still actions that can be taken to minimize risk. Avoiding crowded areas when in a grocery store, such as crowded aisles and areas that are often congested, such as the deli area and the butcher area, is a good plan. One can also choose to visit an area or store that might be crowded at different times during the day to visit at a time when it will probably be less crowded, which is often just after opening time. It's also helpful to avoid having social conversations with friends you might meet to minimize exposure time. To minimize your exposure time, it's best to try to finish your business, your shopping, in as short as time as possible. Gas stations often allow for payment at the pump, which eliminates the need to enter the store. When visiting medical providers, try to schedule an appointment if possible and try to avoid bringing along family members. Finally, we need to be good citizens. We are being asked to report observations of violations of the public health order. This will help minimize the spread of the disease and to allow the economy to reopen sooner.
Thank you, Dr. Sexton. I think everything that Dr. Sexton has said in great detail and given us lots of really wonderful information is so important. It can also be really confusing for us to be thinking about all of these things. So I'm going to propose that we think about something different, and that's Swiss cheese. As everybody knows, Swiss cheese has holes in it. And every one of these interventions that we do is just like a slice of Swiss cheese. We've got a great graphic developed by Dr. Ian McKay, who is a virologist from Australia, and it will be posted to the GMCR website. And it shows a little bit about the impact of each one of these interventions that we can take. And some of those are personal responsibilities. Those are things that each individual can do. And some of those are shared responsibilities. And what I love about this graphic is it shows us how we need to do all of these things to really block the virus. In other words, to make it so that the holes in the Swiss cheese are plugged. So one slice is probably the base slice, and that's physical distancing, staying home, especially if you're sick. And right now, under our governor's orders, we're supposed to stay home. And that's why that's the basis of it. Masking, wearing a mask whenever you are out in public and wearing it properly. That means covering both your mouth and nose. The point of the mask is that we're not sharing our breath with other people. If you just have it over your mouth and not your nose, you're still sharing your breath. So let's wear them properly. We're asked to do it. Let's just wear them, please. Hand hygiene, wash your hands for 20 seconds, cover your cough. These are the individual things. Keep your hands off your face. Just track how many times you touch your face in a day. I guarantee it's a lot. If you're in a crowded place, limit your time. But then there are some things that are shared responsibilities. If you feel like you're sick or if you've been exposed, get tested. And we need access to fast and sensitive testing and tracing. So that's the thing that we are depending on others to do. Ventilation, we can take care of some, and the government needs to step up and businesses need to step up and make sure that their spaces are safe for us to be in. We need coherent, clear, scientifically accurate messaging from our government, from our public health leaders, and we also need financial support. We know that the economic impact of this is equally as devastating as the physical. When necessary, we need to quarantine, staying away from others so we don't spread the disease, and isolate if we are sick. And finally, that last layer, which is not a magic bullet, but the last layer is vaccines. And we hope they're coming, but don't hold your breath. They're coming, they will be here, but we're going to have to do a lot of work to distribute them and to make sure that they are safe and that they work well. So altogether, we can do this. Individual responsibilities, shared responsibilities, we will pull through and make it a healthy, safe place to be. And we can go enjoy each other's company again.
That concludes the weekly coronavirus update interview for November 18th, 2020 on Gila Mimbres Community Radio and KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico. Dr. Rene Dupre and Dr. Kenneth Sexton, thank you both so much for sharing your time and your expertise as today's guests.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for inviting us.
And thanks to our audio engineer, Joe Victor, and to Marcus Hansen, producer of Coronavirus Update, thank you for listening and for supporting GMCR and KURU. Be safe and be well.